From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now.
I want to give thanks endlessly tonight. This is the happiest moment, obviously, in my life. And I owe it to all of you in this room, number one. So give yourself a hand.
That is David Brat speaking last night after upsetting one of the most powerful Republicans in Washington, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor. And there are discussions already going on today about what the upset means for the House leadership, for the Republican Party, and for immigration reform. And in a few minutes, we're going to talk about that part of the story with Enrique Acevedo from Univision.
But first, let's get reaction from Rick Klein, political director for ABC News. Good to have you back, Rick.
Great to be with you.
So first of all, let's start with the obvious question. I mean, Cantor outspent his rival 40-1, and I think some polls had him up by 40 points last month. So how did this happen?
We should note those were his own polls,
his
and
own
they were
polls.
Wildly, ridiculously wrong. This was a stunner, an absolute earthquake. It's not often anymore that we're truly and utterly surprised. But to give you an indication, Eric Cantor was so worried or so not worried about yesterday's primary that he spent the day raising money for other candidates in Washington, D.C. He didn't even get to Richmond until late in the afternoon. He was that confident about cruising to victory. Obviously, losing to 11 points, he badly misjudged the force of the opposition and just the degree to which the positions that he's taken over the years, rightly or wrongly, have put himself too close in line with the Republican establishment, in some cases too close in line with President Obama, for the Republican voters in the Richmond area and his district to stomach.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that in just a second. But tell me, I mean, was part of the lack of face time in the district, I mean, is that emblematic of how he had been interacting with his very own constituents over time? Was that part of the problem?
I think there's a sense that he went to Washington and to New York, Wall Street instead of Main Street in Richmond. I think being part of Republican leadership made him feel a little more detached from the district. So I think that's a piece. You add to that the kind of issues that were able to get Dave Brat and his supporters fired up, particularly quote-unquote amnesty for illegal immigrants. The idea that Eric Cantor supported that is not true, but he was viewed as a supporter of comprehensive immigration reform. That was an entree to a broader discussion about where the Republican establishment has strayed from conservative orthodoxy. And in all those areas, you created the voting issue for people who have been frustrated with Washington, frustrated with Republicans in Washington, frustrated with Speaker Boehner and House Republicans. So you saw all of those tensions boil over in a very unexpected and very real fashion.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about House Speaker John Boehner, because Eric Cantor was seen to be in line to succeed him when Boehner, as and when, would choose to step down. What does Cantor's loss mean for John Boehner himself?
Interestingly, Cantor was the member of leadership who was closest to the Tea Party. He was the bridge between the mainstream leadership and Boehner's folks and the Tea Party, younger generation conservative activists who were brought to Congress. And so losing him is a blow to Boehner personally. It also suggests that the race to succeed Boehner is going to take place to his right. We're going to see a tussle among several of the lieutenants and former lieutenants, in addition to some of the newer members, to try to find a way to coalesce the party to the right of where Speaker Boehner has been and to the right even where Eric Cantor has been. So I think it's going to tug Republicans more rightward. And for Boehner, it's going to put a lot of pressure on him to decide whether he's going to stand for re-election next year. He's got 6 months left as Speaker. Eric Cantor has 6 months left as Majority Leader, although he'll be under pressure to resign, at least from leadership, early.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the rest of Republican leadership. I mean, you were talking about folks looking over their right shoulder, essentially. I mean, is that what this is going to have a knock-on effect regarding all of those quote-unquote establishment Republicans who are at the head of the party?
This sends a shudder throughout all of Republicans in elected office. You got to be careful, and you got to be careful on your right. I think this is going to be viewed as a message from the home of the majority leader himself. No majority leader in the history of the position, it's existed since 1899, has lost a party primary in either party. So this is real. To lose that kind of touch with your base, it does not happen very often, even ever. So the view among other members of Congress is going to be, that's where I have to worry about. That's where I could get caught unaware. And we've heard from Republicans that they're not asleep like they were in 2010 and 2012 to these challenges. Yet again, one of the most prominent Republicans in Washington just got caught napping.
Right. So, Rick, let me ask you, though. I mean, this was an understandable earthquake yesterday in Virginia. But earlier primaries had shown the Tea Party struggling. So, I mean, is this a bellwether for primaries that are yet to come? Or is it sort of just like they had their sights set on Eric Cantor?
Even just yesterday, Lindsey Graham, who was one of the folks the Tea Party had set their sights on, he cruised to victory in his primary in South Carolina. That would have been a surprise coming into the year. So I think it has to do with individual circumstances, but it is applicable in that it can happen to others. We've got Senator Thad Cochran in Mississippi. He's down in the runoff race against a Tea Party candidate. That race takes place in about 2 weeks' time. That is going to be the next front in the Tea Party battles, and it's going to be a real one. So I think we've gone about halfway through the primary season, and this is the first incumbent to lose. I think it's our second incumbent to lose, I should say, but I think it's a fair bet that there'll be a couple more before we're done.
All right, so let's hear a little bit more from Eric Cantor himself. Last night during his concession speech, I should say, he spoke directly about what we were talking about earlier, about his commitment to conservative ideals.
Well, I look forward to continuing to fight with all of you for the things that we believe in, for the conservative cause, because those solutions of ours are the answer to the problems that so many people are facing today.
Okay, Rick, so one of those major problems or issues is the one you mentioned a little earlier, and that is immigration and immigration reform. Does Eric Cantor's defeat really signal the end of hope for any real reform this year?
It's done. It's over. Any slight chance that there was of it being brought up died with Eric Cantor's political career yesterday in Richmond. And the reason is that there was very little incentive for Republicans before to bring it up and a lot of disincentives. Now there are glaring red lights that tell them to stay away from this issue. There's no push for this. Unless Speaker Boehner wanted to commit political suicide and push his members into this, it is not going to happen. It was probably not going to happen anyway. Definitely not now.
That's pretty much as absolute as you can get. Rick Klein, political director of ABC News. Always great to talk to you, Rick. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.